to speak on the best, absolute best, greatest part of the Bible, and I have no idea how this is going to happen. Because I could talk about this till the cows come home, because it has blessed my life. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but we have lots of kids in our child care because it's Veterans Day. So turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to do Philippians 4a this morning. And I have, while you're looking, I'm going to give you, how can we live joyfully? This is where we got our theme verse from, living joyfully. And so Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. So how can we live joyfully? I have 3 points this morning. Number one, live in harmony, verses 1-5. Number two, don't worry, pray, verses 6-7. And number three, think right, 8-9. So let's begin. Paul begins this chapter 4 by calling them his beloved, his joy, his crown, whom he longs to see, and encourages them to stand firm in the Lord. He says that twice. And that's kind of what we learned about last week. Remember my story about the little boy that burned his legs? He had endurance. He never gave up. He kept going. And we need to be that kind of people. Stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what comes our way. So let's read verses 2 and 3. And I don't know how to say these names. I urge Judia and Sinchi to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared with my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Apparently, there had been two women in the church that were arguing. Now, that never happens here, right? No. We're too godly for that. And no, it happens everywhere because we're normal, right? Apparently, two women who have shared in the gospel were struggling, and they were having an argument, and they were butting heads. Paul encourages them to live in harmony in the Lord. He couldn't condemn them because he had come to a similar place with Barnabas. If you remember in Acts chapter 15, they had such a sharp disagreement that the two men went two separate ways, and the gospel was multiplied. There were two godly men preaching the gospel because of a disagreement. Who'd have thunk? And so he can't put them down. He says he's been there, done that. And so they had to disagree. They had to agree to disagree. Paul's asking us to live in harmony and to agree to disagree. And it's usually God's way of multiplying. He had just said in chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. We are servants of another kingdom. As we become more like Christ, we will argue less. I have this great quote. When you no longer are able to reason peacefully with a different opinion, your point and cause is lost. The focus shifts to emotion and personality rather than the issue at hand. It is important to allow the freedom to disagree without belligerence. Isn't that good? I want to be mature enough, like Sarah Palin. She seems to be able to argue with everybody with such tact. You know, she doesn't belittle them or put them down or punch them in the face. Or, you know, she just kind of respectfully listens and then shares what she believes to be true. And that's, boy, that takes, with my kind of personality, that takes a lot of self-control. And so Paul was saying that, you know, live in harmony together. And I have this great verse, Philippians 1:9. The Lord just gave me this a couple weeks ago. Paul was telling them, or Philemon, I guess, was telling them. Now, who wrote Philemon? Paul? Paul, yeah. Paul was telling them, I could order you, yet for love's sake, I appeal to you. Isn't that good? For love's sake. I put that on my refrigerator because sometimes I want to order people around in my house. And so I put, you know, I could order you. Paul was saying, given who I am and what I've been through and how I've been raised up and blah, 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 blah. I could order you, but I appeal to you for love's sake. And that's the way I want to be. I don't want to be an argumentative type person. And we have a great sentence in this Bible study. I think Marianne started it. It's, there's grace for that. There's grace for that. If something happens at your table, there's grace for that. We don't have to start, you know, fist fighting like Cinchy and what her name there, you know. We need to protect community, the common unity. in the process of discernment. It is of far greater value than the answer that we're looking for. More important than the decision that needs to be made is the quality of life together, protected at all costs. And I would say this in your marriages as well. More important in your marriage is the quality of life together. Way more important than the stupid decision that you're arguing about, because 2 years from now, you won't even remember what it was. But the quality of life together is what really is important. And I've said this to you before, say what you mean, just don't say it mean. Isn't that good? Say what you mean, like Sarah Palin. Just don't say it mean. And here's a quote from Spurgeon. People who are very happy, especially those who are very happy in the Lord, are not apt either to give offense or take offense. Their minds are sweetly occupied with higher things. Isn't that good? Sweetly occupied with higher things that they don't even take offense. I like that. Then he goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord. This is our theme verse. He doesn't say rejoice in circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord. And I wanted to give you this one. This is a quote that I have typed up hanging over my desk. He says, rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't say rejoice in circumstances. I'm going ahead of myself. Rejoice in the Lord. You can't rejoice in your circumstances. If you're in difficult circumstances, you are going before the Lord like the psalmists and crying out to the Lord with tears and pain and hurting. It's okay. That's okay. You don't rejoice in the circumstances, but you can always rejoice in the Lord because heaven is your home. There's always hope with Jesus. Find your joy in the Lord and temporal things, because temporal things will never satisfy. Then Paul goes on to say, let your gentle spirit be known. Now, here's my quote that I typed up and hung over my desk. Once in a while, we meet a gentle person. Gentleness is a virtue hard to find in a society that admires toughness and roughness. We are encouraged to get things done and get them done fast, even when people get hurt in the process. Success, accomplishment, productivity count, but the cost is high. There is no place for gentleness in such an arena. Gentle is the one who does not break the crushed reed or snuff the faltering wick, Matthew 12:20. Gentle is the one who is attentive to the strengths and the weaknesses of the other and enjoys being together more than accomplishing something. A gentle person treads lightly, listens carefully, looks tenderly, touches with reverence. A gentle person knows that true growth requires nurture, not force. Let's dress ourselves with gentleness. In our tough and often unbending world, our gentleness can be a vivid reminder of the presence of God. Two of my children are very gentle. I'm not a gentle person. I try hard, but you know, I remember that verse in 1 Peter 3:4. It's the meek and quiet spirit. I remember when I first got saved, I was like, Lord, are you kidding? Really? That's the goal? Meek and quiet? Now, over the years, after 36 years, He has made me a much more compassionate, a much more gentle person. But I love that. In our tough and often unbending world, our gentleness can be a vivid reminder of the presence of God. And I have one daughter who is very gentle. And she constantly, she's just precious as can be, because I don't by nature think that way. So he says, let your gentle spirit be known. He was encouraging that these two women, you need to learn to live in harmony and let your gentle spirit be known. And remember, we did that book last summer by Lisa Turkhurst. I can't remember the name of it. Anybody remember? Oh, well. Unglued, yeah. She said, I may not be gentle by nature, but I can learn to be gentle by obedience. Yeah, that's me. Meek and quiet sounded crazy to me when I first got saved. But I may not be gentle, but God didn't make me that way. I got to be who I am, but I don't have to hurt people. Okay, so he says, let your gentle spirit be known. The Lord is near. He will settle all the disputes and right every wrong done. So we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to argue and be argumentative type women. we can have a gentle and spirit and live in harmony with one another in the Lord. So that's the first one, 1-5, live in harmony. The second one is don't worry, pray, verses 6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Here's another big goal. Be anxious for nothing. Yeah, sure. In a fallen world, God, I'm supposed to be anxious for nothing? You know, in a fallen world? Yes, be anxious for nothing. We shouldn't live like we don't have a Heavenly Father that cares. We should live like we know him. And we're safe in his arms. Underneath are his everlasting arms, the Bible says. And here's another great quote. Richard Foster. Ooh, good book. Prayer. Looking for a good book? This is really, really good. It's not just about prayer, if prayer sounds not so good to you. It's really, really a good book. It's called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home by Richard Foster. Often God is purifying our faith by threatening to destroy it. Isn't that true? Through our barrenness of soul, God is producing detachment, patience, and perseverance. When you are unable to put your spiritual life into drive, don't put it in reverse. Put it in neutral. Trust is how you put your spiritual life in neutral. Don't go backwards just because you can't go forward right now. Sit in neutral and trust. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak hope and encouragement and life-giving words to your soul. Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." He promises that he will give us perfect peace as we trust in him. Psalm 46:2, "We will not fear." This is one of my favorite ones. "We will not fear though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the sea." And that might happen here in California, right? "We will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the sea." Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, "Do not be anxious for your life. Seek first his kingdom, and he'll add what you need." Don't be anxious for your life. And I say it like this: be careful, ladies, what basket you put your hope eggs in. Be careful. You single gals, don't put your hope eggs in an ungodly man basket. Be careful what basket, think of your life, you've got a basket that you're putting your little hope eggs into. Make sure that you're putting them in the right basket of trusting God and Jesus Christ and obeying him and of following his commands and living by his principles. If we put our hope eggs in the wrong basket, we're going to end up with an unstable life. Here's the truth. He's saying, be anxious for nothing. Fear sells. And women are usually the consumers, to be honest. Fear sells. Sometimes I'll go home. And we have a landline. I'm not sure why, because we never use it for anything. But we have a landline, and every now and then there'll be some messages on there, and so I will listen to the message, and here's one that I get very, very, very often. "We have heard there's been many break-ins in your neighborhood, and we would like to help you, and you need to buy our whatever, whatever." You know, they're trying to scare me into buying their product, right? Or maybe you're watching TV. "Do you have the dreaded disease of gingivitis?" Right? Fear sells. Yeah, you go, oh gosh, maybe I got gingivitis, you know. Or how about the one, I've only seen this once, but I thought it was hilarious, where it's a pest control place, and then there's like millions of cockroaches, cartoon cockroaches, running all through the house and going into the wall. You know what I mean? They think we're stupid. Yeah. Or when they're trying to sell the latest antidepressant. "Are you feeling low? Has depression hit? Yeah, they're trying to sell. Fear sells. So we want to be women who are anxious for nothing. In contrast, we are to pray and let God know what's on our heart, give him our concerns, and then exercise trust. Picture him as a loving father who will never leave you or forsake you, that you go into his presence and you bring all that whole backpack full of marbles or your whole arms full of worries, and you set them at your father's feet and say, you are God. You flung the stars into the universe. You're big enough to handle this wimpy little thing that I'm fretting over. So he says, be anxious for nothing. And the peace of God, he'll give you his peace. Now listen, this is a description I found of the peace of God. Really good. The unruffled serenity of an infinitely happy God. The external composure of the absolutely well-contented God. He's not nervous. He's not afraid. He knows exactly what's going on. He's finished it. He's read the end of the story. He wins. And so he'll give us that kind of peace. And that kind of peace will guard your heart and mind. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The word guard means to garrison. He'll put a military guard around your heart and your mind. I love that picture that comes in my head. A military guard. And I think of Israel, with all those military people protecting the kids and protecting the border. He'll put a military guard around your mind and your heart. I love that. And that military guard, that he guards your heart and your mind, will surpass your intellect. You can't work it up. You can't get it yourself. It's something that an almighty, powerful, incredibly wonderful God does. He brings the peace of God to guard our heart and our mind. And I love it. It's so important to understand he will guard both, our heart and our mind. Often we can understand with our mind, and we as women can analyze things to death, can't we? So we can figure it out with our mind, but often our heart is crushed. And we can't really fix our heart. That takes the Lord to guard that and do what's necessary. Here's another one I have over my desk. Your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. Isn't that good? I have it. It's printed really big over my desk. Because, you know, he will, as we bring our needs and things to him, the peace of God will guard our heart and our mind as we bring these things, our concerns, to Jesus. So Paul is telling them, live in harmony and be gentle. Don't worry, pray instead. And God's peace will guard your heart and your mind. So number one, live in harmony. Number two, don't worry, pray. And number three is my absolute favorite. He says, finally, my sisters, I'll say sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And I love what it says. It says, and the peace of God will be in you. So he will guard your mind and your heart, but he will be in you as well. That's just a cool thing to think about. They say that each one of us have about 10,000 thoughts a day. And so he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, good repute, excellent, praiseworthy. I think sometimes we need to take our minds and our thoughts that we're having all day and put them through a filter. And say, is that kind? Is that true? Is that lovely? Is that praiseworthy of good repute? What we have to be careful. I know that sometimes my mind wants to think on wicked stuff. And it messes me up. It tweaks me for the day when I allow my thoughts to run rampant. If we change our thoughts, we can change our lives. That's why he says, think on what is honorable, right, pure, true, and lovely, good repute, excellent, and worthy of praise. Dwell on these things. Watch out for the stinking thinking. It can really, really mess you up. And I know me, and I figure you're just like me, are women, we like to think and we like to analyze way more than men do, I think. We like to analyze everything to the T and try and figure it all out. And sometimes we can make ourselves crazy doing that. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. We just take it, I mean, really, we need more kids to take care of, or we need a job or something, you know, because we think too hard. We think too hard, and we have all this time, I guess, to think and analyze, and sometimes what we're thinking about is not right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, and praiseworthy. And we can make ourselves feel kind of crazy. Negative thoughts are like a virus that cripple our usefulness. As King's kids, we have got to learn to obey this command. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellent, and praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on those things. Because when we put the other stuff into our mind, they stay there in our mind, and then they come forth from us. When we fill our minds with the negative thinking, the analyzing, the criticalness, the bitterness, all that junk, eventually what we've put inside of our minds is like garbage in, garbage out. It's like a computer. We're going to be spitting out whatever we're putting into our minds. And so I commend you for being here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Sundays, and hopefully we'll have church every day at some point. Matthew 22:37 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." Did you ever think about that? 365 days in a year, there's a good chance I'm going to blow it, one of those things. You know, loving God with my mind. I want to bring another. I'm a book person. Loving God with All Your Mind by Elizabeth George. Excellent, excellent book on how to love God with all your mind. Romans 12:2 says, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're not just supposed to sit in front of the news and hear all the garbage and just get discouraged and ripped off and defeated and depressed, you know. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then 2 Corinthians 10:5 is my favorite. You've probably heard me say this one on a retreat before, but we are to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Destroy every lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God. All those fear thoughts. We got to destroy those thoughts and bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring them captive. So I have a thought. Oh, no. What if I wreck my car? And I go, no. Get out of here. Pow. I shoot them. That's what I do. I shoot them. I pretend like I have a gun. I go, pow. And that seems like they go away when I do that. So you shoot the bad ones, you bring them captive, you go, whoa, 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 that's not honorable, right, pure, lovely, excellent, of good repute, praiseworthy. That's a fear thought. Pow! You shoot that one. Right? Destroy every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You want to think on the things that will bring joy to your life, things that will bring courage. The Word of God brings courage, hope, joy, love. You know, all of the things that you want your life to be filled with. Paul is basically telling the Philippian church that divisiveness, worry, and stinking thinking will rob your joy. You can't rejoice in the Lord if your mind is full of these things. Choosing to love God with our minds and think on the things that are honorable, right, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, listen, helps to limit our emotions. And I don't know about you, but emotions, I struggle with feelings and emotions. And sometimes, this is crazy, but this is one of my quotes. Sometimes feelings are sneaky little liars sent in to sabotage my life. Feelings, you gotta watch those feelings. Because sometimes they are antichrist. So, we need to think on what is right, because it helps to limit our emotions as women, because thoughts generate emotions. So when we think on the Word of God and we think on what is right, pure, lovely, true, excellent, praiseworthy, then are those emotions will be held, the evil ones, the ones that are bad, will be held at bay. Proverbs 31:25-26. I love this. This is who I want to be. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Doesn't that sound good? She's not this cowering, fearful, anxious, worried, you know, all those things, living not in harmony, you know, all that. She's not all that. As we bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and destroy every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, then we become more like the Proverbs 31 girl. Strength and dignity, like Sarah Palin. I like her, can you tell? I like this little 18-year-old from West Virginia, too. You've been hearing about her? Her name's Sarah as well. I'm gonna change my name. 18 years old from Charleston, West Virginia. Stands for biblical truth, pro-life, anti-gay. She stands for everything that we stand for. She says, I stand for the things that my grandparents stood for. And she just got elected to something. I don't know what it was. Got elected. I got to meet that little girl. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Wow. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She doesn't break the reed like that quote that I gave you. She's known for her gentleness and her kindness. Ladies, I pray that we become women who are so strong enough to hold our thoughts up to God's standards and who are willing to see how damaging our thoughts can be. So I've looked up all these words. Honorable means characterized by integrity and respect. Here's the things we're supposed to be thinking about. Honorable, characterized by integrity and respect. Pure. Pure means clean and not harmful in any way. Pure thoughts. Of good repute. That's an old word, repute. I didn't even know what that meant. It means favorable status that is spoken of. That we would only let thoughts that were favorable be thought of. Praiseworthy means it glorifies God. Right means true, accurate, and correct. Lovely means graceful, good, and pleasing. And excellent means superior. That's the kind of stuff we would have in our computer. So that's the kind of stuff that would be coming out. And that's the kind of stuff that would be holding all those fearful, evil emotions and feelings back and keep them at bay. We are to think forgiven, fearfully and wonderfully made, loved and accepted. That's what we're supposed to be like, because we're part of the kingdom of God, altogether different kingdom. This kingdom of God is among us, and we're becoming his little, subjects. Yeah. And Ephesians 5:26 says, we can have the washing of the water with the word. That as we put our minds in the Bible, as we do our homework, as we have our devotions, as we come to church, that the Word of God is actually washing our minds and making us clean. And sometimes it's hard to go to church when the kids are giving you a hard time, they're fighting in the car, and you're yelling at them before you walk in the door. I remember. But as you come to church, your mind is going to get washed. And Sandy McIntosh had this by her phone. Now, we used to have to stand next to the wall with our phone, for those of you who don't know that. And next to her phone, she put, is it kind, true, and necessary? Is it kind, is it true, and is it necessary? Isn't that good? What's going to come out of my mouth? Is it kind, is it true, and is it necessary? Elizabeth George says this, we are loving God with all of our mind when we rely on the powerful truths of his word rather than our own thoughts and feelings. We love God when we choose to submit our emotions and thoughts to the truth of his teachings. And Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. The word of God can go deeper than anything that you can learn with your intellect and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's powerful stuff. But sometimes we can even be duped. The heart is deceitful, the Bible says. But the Word of God is living and active. It's able to judge our thoughts and the intentions of our heart even. It's powerful stuff. The Word of God is so powerful and able to break the cycle of destructive thinking that leads to discouragement, despair, doubt, and depression. The devil's all words start with D. They do. Think about it. Just make a list. The devil's words start with D. If we can be freed from the crippling, destructive habits of our thought life, we will be able to move toward the honorable, right, pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy life that God has planned for us. So these, to me, these verses right here, this has been my hope for 36 years. Because I'm emotional, I have strong feelings, I'm like a bull in a china shop sometimes. I speak before I think sometimes, or used to anyway. The older I get, the less I speak. And knowing that I could bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ and destroy every lofty thing raised, every time a negative thought came into my mind about my husband, which never happens, no, I would go, pow, no, that's not true. Gary's a good man. He loves me. He takes care of us. He's safe. He makes me feel loved and safe, you know, because we get selfish and stinky, don't we? Even with the wonderful husbands that God gives us, we can get a bad attitude at times. We want to think on what is right, pure, lovely, excellent, and praiseworthy. And then finally, at the end, oh, I did it. Verse 9, he says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Before he said, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And now he says, if you practice these things that we've been learning about, for the past couple weeks, the God of peace will be actually with you in any circumstance that you might be facing. And practice, you know, he says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When you first start practicing something, you feel like a phony, don't you? Yeah, like I'm learning to play piano. So I'm practicing, and I feel, oh gosh, I can't play piano. Who am I to think at 58 years old I can learn how to play piano? And I feel like a phony, but darn it, I keep practicing anyway because I want to be able to play Christmas carols with my grandkids. So you're going to feel like a phony at first, especially if you're a new believer. When you try and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you try and live by the godly principles that you find as you're reading the Word of God. And here's what I'm going to say. Fake it till you make it. I've heard people say that about other things. Fake it till you make it. I remember being this trashy girl, the cigarette smoking, bar hopping trashy girl, and sitting in church and singing to God. And it felt really weird. And I felt really uncomfortable, and I felt like a phony. But eventually, I kept doing it. And I had that endurance, and I just kept doing it, and I just kept doing it. And I don't feel like a phony anymore. Or here's a better way to think of it. Live it till you are it. Isn't that good? Live it. Hug your husband when he comes home from work. Run up to him and give him a kiss and thank him for working hard. Or grab your kids and sit them on your lap and count their eyelashes. Live it till you are it. And you will begin, the Word of God will begin to renew your mind. And I'm not saying works. You guys know that, right? You know me better than that. It's not works. It's just I want to be like Jesus. I want to be patient. I can be gentle through obedience, even if it's not my nature. Say and do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not, and the peace of God will not only guard you, but be with you. I feel like that's what Paul was saying. The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, start beginning to practice them. Start practicing those things. And next thing you know, your mind and your heart will be guarded, and God, the peace of God will be with you. And I'm going to end with my favorite quote of all time. You've heard me say it before. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would make us strong soldiers, Lord. gentle warriors, Lord, that we wouldn't be argumentative or wanting to differ with everybody and argue with everybody, that we would walk in a spirit of humility and gentleness and kindness and forbearance, Lord, forbearing with one another in love. And Lord, that they would see you. And Father, I do pray that you would help us. I pray for every girl in this room that we would realize anxiety is sin. And Lord, that we would begin to see that just walking all of our worries and troubles to you and laying them at your feet. And Father, that your peace would guard our hearts and our minds, which would change our whole life. And lastly, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to think right, that we would destroy every lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of you, all the fear, worry, anxiety, bitterness, anger, all the stuff that really makes us feel crazy. Lord, I pray that we would think on what is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, and praiseworthy, and that our lives would reflect those things. I thank you for Philippians chapter 4, Lord, that so radically has changed my life over the past 36 years. And I pray that you do miracles in this room, that we would become more like you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.